I know who I am and what I'm going to be doing, and I want to be governor of New Jersey.
Well, that works, because he is the governor of New Jersey. That's a Republican, Chris Christie. He's speaking to our own Bob Henley, senior reporter for our flagship station, WNYC. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
All right, and the reason that we're talking about the governor, Chris Christie, as opposed to the rest of the 49 governors of the nation?
Well, I think it's because he has kind of caught the imagination. There's that Quinnipiac poll that shows him to be the hottest Republican figure around. He's up there in the rarefied air of the president and first lady. No one really knows who he is, but they seem to like.
Meaning people are talking about a possible presidential run?
Exactly. Now, the lucky thing here is that he happened to be part of the first good news wave for the Republicans after President Obama's landmark victory in 2008. So you're a Republican, you're feeling down. President Obama has won. They held both the House and Senate. And then all of a sudden, Chris Christie wins in a blue state, beating John Corzine. And all of a sudden, there's a thought that perhaps something can happen, because Christie did it with the holy grail of Republican politics, Reagan Democratic Union households in places like Union and Middlesex County. So that all of a sudden made him think, like, maybe this guy's got something. And then he was the first governor to say no to a major federal project, the rail tunnel under the Hudson. And then all of a sudden, all the other governors started copying that.
All right. And one of the things that he's done is turn down things like federal transportation dollars. Here he is. He's talking about his own state and his fiscal responsibility.
This image of New Jersey being just about the Sopranos and the Real Housewives of New Jersey and the Jersey Shore, and we're now about fiscal discipline and accountability and speaking the truth to people. I think that's what New Jersey's all about.
Not just speaking to New Jersey, but that seems to be a message that resonates.
And it's bouncing back and forth, Republican, Democrat in Jersey for a while.
Exactly. And then also the thing that's been going on with him is that he wants to paint himself as a turnaround specialist. There's no doubt the state of New Jersey has had a real reputation problem. I mean, our pension's like $54 billion in the hole for public workers.
Oh, is that all?
It's huge. In fact, New Jersey's not Wisconsin in terms of just how big the fiscal mess is. And it's really a bipartisan malfeasance that's been going on for decades with both parties.
All right. So he's turning it around, supposedly. Many people not exactly happy, though, with the way that he's turning it around and the cuts that he's choosing to make.
Right. I mean, one of the things is that he has cut reproductive care for clinics. There's a sense that perhaps he is very much pro-life. And there's a sense that maybe he's getting his agenda in through his funding choices. There's a lot of anxiety about the Medicaid cuts he has to make, because as throughout the rest of the country, Medicaid costs have really exploded in New Jersey. And President Obama's affordable health care doesn't really kick into 2014. So that's like a bridge too far. So what's really happening is all the states in miniature have to resolve the so-called health crisis. I thought we were over that, but here we are back in the ditch again.
Bridge too far. You mean tunnel too far, don't you? They're talking about that public works project that he canceled, the tunnel. So does Christie take his place with John Kasich in Ohio, of Daniels in Indiana, Walker in Wisconsin, some of the GOP governors who have really stood up and set, in many ways, a political kind of confrontational agenda?
It's a tricky Tai Chi, because here's the thing. His secret is getting those Reagan Democratic households in blue-collar towns to support him. If he appears to go too far to the right and look like he's really undermining the tradition of collective bargaining throughout the state that we have throughout the country, then he'll lose that base, and he's got to be
concerned. So he's got to be careful going national.
Every day, and how he does it. And also, I mean, he has thousands of law enforcement and fire department folks in front of the state house complaining about the direction he's going in.
So he's probably seeing Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin as kind of a warning to himself not to let it hit the national papers.
And yet, publicly, they close ranks.
Right. Exactly. All right. So what is your bet? Having spoken to him, do you think he's eyeing a presidential bid?
I think that when it comes to 2012, it's out of the question, because there are systemic issues in New Jersey. We have like over 500 independent authorities we've talked about that don't even put on their website when their meetings are, spending billions of dollars. We're very much in debt. So he really he risks being kind of like a Sarah Palin in the terms of being a quitter, if you will. If he leaves the state without getting this stuff done, it's a big old incomplete. That's not a legacy.
But we'll probably see him speaking at the Republican convention.
Oh, all the time, because he looks at like it's reinforcing Jersey's brand.
All right. I want to talk about one other thing, because we've spoken to you before about the 911 infrastructure. And I wanted to kind of update people on that story. You got new information because you actually spoke to the chair of the FCC about this.
Yeah, Mr. Jankowski. The thing that's amazing is that he has no illusions. He said very upfront that right now it's dysfunctional in the sense that we have what is a 1984 analog, that kind of technology that came from when Ma Bell was broken up, that isn't really integrated yet, this is hard to believe, with cell digital technology. And for instance, the kids in Virginia Tech who were under fire during that massacre thought they could text 911. They were wrong. And he's trying to get the telecom companies on board to bring this country into the 21st century.
It's a voluntary thing. The FCC can't impose a 911 rule without Congress making
it. What they can do is require reliability for the cell companies, and that's what they're just trying to do right now, dragging those tel companies, kicking and screaming.
All right, but what did he have anything to say on how he's going to do that, or what other plans he may have?
First, they're doing is they're starting. We talked about this the other day too on the show. They're keeping track of the money. There you go. You get your phone bill, open it up, and oh, there it is, a 911 e-charge. Let me pay it. Evidently, some states, including New York, take that money and do something else with it. So now, at least, the FCC is making a list of them and sending it to Congress, and it's expected Congress is going to circle back and say, "Whoa,
so
put that money." Back into
the states have to spend the money on 911.
Exactly
they
right.
They can't be charging fees. The companies
it's
can't be charging
It's misrepresentation.
All right. So we're yet again going to follow the money and see where it leads. That's Bob Henley, political.
Who are you talking to today? Joe Biden?
I don't know.
Jeez. Julius Jankowski.
Second string cabinet officers.
Bob Henley, political reporter for our flagship station, WNYC, New York Public Radio. The rumors are not true. As far as I know, Bob Henley not considering a presidential run in 2012.
No.